I'm trying to understand how this whole thing really works. And to do that, you have to understand where things really are. A track map like mine isn't necessarily useful from getting A to B, but it is useful for understanding how the subway network relates to the rest of the city.
Welcome to Journey with Purpose. This is episode 32. If we haven't met before, I'm your host, Randy Plummel. I'm the owner of the small but mighty design firm, Expedition Works. As an expedition is just a journey with purpose. We help public sector and nonprofits connect with people and help make excellent journeys. Keeping our trend of speaking about maps and metro, today we speak with cartographer Andrew Lynch about the purpose of a map and prototyping new maps for the Washington Metro System. Andrew, welcome to Journey with Purpose. Can you tell us who you are, where we're speaking to you from, and what you do?
Yeah, hi, thank you. So my name's Andrew Lynch. I go under the pseudonym online of Van Schnookenragen. I am a graphic designer, primarily a cartographer, probably 20 years now, which is kind of incredible to think about. I live in Queens, New York, Ridgewood. I've lived in New York City for just over 19 years now. I came here to finish college, and I figured I'd leave at some point, and I haven't done that yet. And I've done a lot of different jobs over the years. I haven't been primarily a designer. That's been more of like a passion. I've been a realtor, been a bartender for a long time.
What makes a good map, or what makes a map good?
What makes the map good? It depends really on what you're trying to say. I think a lot of people, when they just look at a map, it's about orienting yourself where you are right now and then figuring out where you want to go. So at the very least, what makes a good map is clearly defining those parameters. And how you do that is, you know, there's probably a million different ways to do it. There's no real easy way to say this is what you need to do to make a good map. A good map could literally just be a couple lines, because all you have to do is get someone from A to B. The maps that I like, they have more to offer. There's more than meets the eye, if you will. I come at things from a historical perspective. And so when I look at a map, I want to see something that maybe isn't there, or maybe used to be there and isn't there anymore, or maybe they were projecting something that would be there that ended up not happening. Those are the things I like. Some people love old historic maps. That's not really my bag, but, you know, to each his own. And that's kind of the problem with maps, is you can do almost anything with it.
When I was learning about cartography, map making, and it seems like this blend of art and science, at some point I realized that it can be fairly subjective. And that kind of actually blew my mind about what you leave in and leave out. You have a whole series of maps around the geographically accurate view of, say, the New York subway or the Washington Metro. Why are these maps important, and why do you spend, which it looks like, a lot of time and a lot of effort, because I like them, they're very beautiful, but it seems like there's a lot of work that goes into them, that there's a lot of choices that are made.
Yes, there is a lot of work that goes into those maps, which is why it takes me a very long time to make them. I guess we can start at the beginning of why I even made them in the first place. Any map of a rail network is going to be, by definition, complex, because rail networks, by definition, are complex. There are switches. There are all these little things that, like platform where a train stops, signals, power sources. The average person who rides the subway doesn't need to know any of that information. They need to know where the station is and which lines do I need to take to get to me to where I want to go. And that's why we look back at Harry Beck, who revolutionized mapping of transit networks by making them very simplified the way electronic diagrams are. And that's what we need to sort of distill out the wayfinding from getting from point A to point B. That's great, but that doesn't at all show you what the network really looks like. One of the things that I constantly see is people that take the subway, not even really a map, the diagram. They take the subway diagram and they draw in these lines. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if this was over here? Or maybe there's a blank space and people will ask, well, why isn't there a train there? And to understand those issues, you need to look at what it really looks like, you know, geographically. But if you were to draw out a subway map geographically, there's a lot of areas where a lot of lines come together or a lot of lines are spaced apart. So you either have too little space to clearly communicate what things are, or you have too much white space and then you're wasting space. And if you look at my track maps, you'll see that is the case. So that's why we don't use your graphic maps. I need to understand sort of how the city works, where these things really are, how the whole network works together. So I had to imagine basically what a geographic map would look like of the subway. And the reason was because nobody else had really done it. Or if they had, it really wasn't what I needed it to be. And so I just set out using the language, if you will, of other maps that people had made, and then stuck that onto a geographic map. Had to figure out, like, okay, how does the scale work? Because if I was to draw everything to scale, you couldn't read anything. I actually had someone try to make a reproduction of one of my maps to scale, and you couldn't see anything. And so I had to work that out. Then I had to figure out, like, okay, what about the parts that are active versus not active? How do they look? What about parts that used to be there? So it just, the snowball effect of what was the story I was really trying to tell and how would that end up looking? The New York map was the prototype, and every map I've made since then has been a little bit, I wouldn't say picking less time, but I at least knew sort of the tool that and the scale of everything I was working on so I could jump right in. I'm trying to understand how this whole thing really works. And to do that, you have to understand where things really are. A track map like mine isn't necessarily useful from getting A to B, but it is useful for understanding how the subway network relates to the rest of the city.
That part about understanding and telling the story, what is the story you were trying to say on your geographic maps? What would that story be?
I think the main story with my geographic maps wasn't that I wanted to show what the system was. I wanted to show what it had been so that we could understand better what it could be. That's literally why I sat down and made the whole thing was I was working on just trying to understand, all right, if we're going to build this subway line someplace, how would it connect to the existing system? And the maps that I had weren't geographic. And so what I realized is all my ideas might not even be possible if I didn't have more realistic blueprints. And to understand that, I had to sit down and draw out what this area of the subway really looked like. And as I did it, I just realized, like, oh, I'm not going to be satisfied unless I know what the whole thing looks like. I just knew myself. And there had been other really detailed maps of the subway, but every single one that I found was missing something. They were always missing something different, but they were always missing something. I wanted to know, where were the abandoned sections? Where were the parts that are unused, either not used in revenue service or virtually abandoned, that type of thing? And then what the system used to look like, why it doesn't look like the way we built it in the 19-teens or the 30s. Provisions were built for lines that never got built. Where were those? So that was the whole story that I wanted to understand. It's not just about A to B. It's not just about where the trains run. It's that other layer. And I feel like I wasn't the only one who wanted to know that. People have always been fascinated about abandoned train lines and abandoned subways. I've had people come to me and they're like, oh, there's miles of abandoned lines in there. It's like, well, no, there's not. Like, there are a few abandoned lines, a few abandoned stations, but it's this myth, this lore that people have talked about for generations in New York. That's really what the story was about, was sort of shining the light into the darkness.
Found your maps when I was trying to figure out what was happening around like the City Hall station, because my son was like, why are we doing this? Why are we taking this right and left-hand turns?
It's curiosity. When I first moved to New York almost 20 years ago, I was very active in urban exploration, literally like going out and exploring abandoned buildings, abandoned rail lines. I got up on the High Line before they had converted it. I'd done the same in Boston where I moved from, and I knew well enough not to just go running down subway tunnels, but it was still this fascination about understanding the forgotten pieces of history.
So this has been debated forever, but you talked about Harry Beck's tube diagram and then our current subway diagram, which is kind of a mess, but, you know, it's a familiar mess. I kind of think of it as like, oh, that's my friend that I know very well. And, you know, they're in my life and things like
that's
that,
funny.
Which replaced the Massimo Vignelli diagram, which I'm of many minds, like Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays. I'm like, this is amazing. All the other days, I'm like, this is unusable. In that spectrum of geographic to diagram, I'd love to get your points of view and what you think about it, because I want to connect to also the earlier conversation. You said the maps are contextual and depends on what story you want to tell. On the Vignelli and the New York City maps, why should we care about the diagram versus the geographic representation?
So the interesting thing is, as designers, we sort of come at this problem with our background of education about what's the right way to do it, right? Or at the very least, what's the right direction to go into? I have very few memories of my early years of college, but one of them is sitting in a design 101 class, and up on the screen, they were showing us various modern designs, and one of them was the Vignelli map. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. And I remember, I was in Boston, so I was familiar with subways and subway maps. I remember looking at it just being like, what the hell is that? And my professors were going on and on about it. And all I was like, that's a terrible map. You just can't figure out how to use it, how to get from A to B. Going back to your initial question, what makes a good map? I feel like that's a failure. However, I think it was about 2008, Vignelli was approached to make an update of it using our current color scheme based on the trunk line. And I feel like, if they had done this in the 70s, we would have still had this map. The Vignelli map suffers from its time period of psychedelic colors and all this stuff. It's just no, dude, simplified. Whereas the map we have today, which I also remember the first time I thought, which is the first time I came to New York as an adult before I moved here, and I looked at it and thought, how the hell are you supposed to use this thing? The thing that I've learned just from experience, from watching people, is that a subway map of any city becomes a de facto map of that city, especially in New York. In LA, probably not so much. In LA, you're like, where are the highways at? The number one thing that you need when you're in a city, especially a city that you've never been to before, is a way to orient yourself. And the subway is how you do that. More so in New York than anywhere else in America. You don't look at a map of the highways of New York and try and orient yourself. You look at a map of the subway. And because of that reality, you need some sort of level of geographic information, whatever that is. Now, there's no real perfect way to strike a balance. You're always going to have to compromise on something. I feel personally, to this day, the best compromise ever made was a kick map made by Eddie Jabor, where he was able to create the line-by-line diagram of Vignelli, but incorporate enough geographic elements that were accurate enough where that you could look at that map and say, all right, I'm here, I'm in this neighborhood, but I want to go to this neighborhood. And I see these two neighborhoods on the map. Okay, here are the lines I need to take. I think the current subway map, the problem with it is the geography is more of an afterthought. So there's names and there are streets, but they're really thrown in there. So you're like, okay, I need to get, from Chelsea to Jamaica. And if you can find on the map the word Chelsea and the word Jamaica, figure out how to take whatever train there, but it's not quite enough. This is a question that will be debated until the end of time. I've had this conversation with so many people online. So many people hate the Vignelli map, even the updated one. They hate it. And I don't understand why they hate it. I'm not saying it's perfect. It's far from perfect, but it at least is a very clear way of being like, okay, I'm over here. I need to get over here. I had some person said that it's like, okay, but where are the stops? I'm like, well, the stops are where there are dots. There are either no dots or there are dots. And to make a good map, you have to understand human psychology. And that's where I think a lot of designers, Massimo Vignelli was guilty of this, would drew a line. It's like, you're either right or you're wrong. And if you want to make a piece of art, that's fine. But if you want to make a tool that people use to navigate a city of 8 million people, you can't get away from that.
That part about art versus tools versus usage, Vignelli map, especially the first version, it's a very specific way to look at the system. And the fact that Central Park is not green is a very specific choice.
Yeah.
And I think your point about would the diagram have been more successful with our current both trunk line and our naming and just the way it possibly is, because I love the weekend work map. Like that is something that I actually can't wait to see it on like Thursday, Friday, because I'm like, oh, how am I going to get my kids from here to there?
I'm
looking at it. It's very clear, but I've also lived here for decades. And so I'm familiar with navigating the system. It makes me wonder, like, Beck's tube map came out a long time ago. Boston and Washington Metro, they're both diagrams. And I wonder what it is about New York that is special enough that you need the geographic part versus the Washington Metro. It just, the city is already this like weird geometry with angles and all the different cardinal directions. And it sort of fits. And Boston, it's inbound, outbound, hub and spoke. It kind of like maps to our mental model. I wonder if that's why that works better.
I think it has more to do with the purpose of a subway. New York could literally not function without a subway as sprawling as it is. These other cities, because they're smaller, their subways were specifically designed to get people from the outskirts downtown and then back home. And that's why you don't need like a map of Boston. Yes, let's say downtown and the Back Bay area, those are exaggerated because that's where a lot of people are going. But once it gets out into the suburbs, you don't need to know. The border of Cambridge, maybe. Or at the very least, you just need to know like these four or five stops are in Cambridge and the other ones aren't. But do you need to know the different neighborhoods of Cambridge? I don't even think I know the different neighborhoods of Cambridge. DC was specifically designed post-war to get people from their car-dependent suburbs into the downtown core. And because of that, you basically needed to know where like Foggy Bottom was, where that White House is, and where like Congress and Union Station are. And then everything else is just whatever. Chicago is the same way, although their network's a lot older. It's all about the hub and spoke model and understanding that people don't get around the city. They get from home to work and back. New York had a little bit of that, but because of its size, you needed, at the very least, the subway was going to go other places. It had to be that big. And because of that network, different nodes were able to grow. Midtown Manhattan was not the central business district until the subway. Even though Penn Station and Grand Central were there around the teens, it really took subways to bring people in. That is the big reason why it feels different here. It's a big difference why we need geography here. I'm not saying we don't need geography in those other places. It might help.
I'd love for you to speak a little bit of what you can, the work you helped the Washington Metro last year. I know they've been prototyping a bunch of different wayfinding and signage updates. There's been a bunch of different things, both in station. There's a series of digital kiosks that are being rolled out and different ways to try to update it from both an accessibility point of view, but also I think just refreshing it. Can you speak a little bit about what you did and what you saw as the problem that they were trying to solve for?
Yeah, totally. That was a really exciting project. Really happy I got to work on that about a year ago. So it was spearheaded by Sarah Meyer, who had previously worked at MTA, and she had tried to spearhead a similar project at the MTA. In fact, the weekend map that you mentioned came out of that. And she moved down there. The nice thing about a smaller network like DC or Boston is you've got the ability to make bigger changes quicker. And that's what this project was aiming to do. So she just wanted to, from beginning to end, see how people navigated the system and find where people are having trouble, find what works, and find some solutions. Anyone who's been to DC, one of the first things people talk about is the beauty of those stations, brutalist stations. They're not all identical, but they all speak the same language. They're breathtaking. I mean, every time I walk out, I just want to take pictures of it. The problem with that, though, is when every station looks the same, when you get off of a train, you don't know where you are. And I actually found myself getting lost. I was just taking the system somewhere when I was down there, and I got off at the wrong exit. And I was like, oh, this is a learning moment. This is exactly why we're doing it. I was primarily brought in to work on a couple different maps. I ended up throwing my two cents in on some signage, wayfinding, but other teams were spearheading that. they asked me to work on two different maps. The first was that when you leave the station at the entrance between the station and the street level, they wanted to have a neighborhood level map that would help people orient themselves where they were and then where to go. The idea was to label the exits so you could pimp on at exit A or exit 2 or whatever they were going to call it. And I see where I am. In New York City, they do have these neighborhood level maps, but they don't always have them at the stations, which is really frustrating. Online, you can find them. It's something that's kind of fallen out of use. There's also the links, things that have basically replaced like payphones on the street. But a lot of these, and this isn't related to the MTA, the city project, but they have maps of where you are oriented on where you're looking, which I always found really intelligent. So you don't have to sort of like in your mind change your orientation. And then London had something similar. So I created a map for, I think it was the Lafont Station, Lafont Plaza. And it was sort of where can you walk to in 5 minutes or 10 minutes, you know, that type of thing. And then the other one was they were very interested in multimodal maps. That is, maps that showed more than just what the metro. The metro is their heavy rail system, but there's also buses. You also have the MARC and the VRE and Amtrak as commuter rail, intercity rail. But the metro does run the buses, but it doesn't run the other stuff. I also think they were interested in kind of coming up with ways to incorporate the Purple Line, which I think a lot of people assume is metro, but isn't. It's going to be its own separate thing. And so they wanted to have a map that showed all these other connections. And in general, I'm a fan of that. I think, especially like the New York City subway map, does a disservice to riders by not more prominently showing Long Island Railroad, Metro North, and PATH, even though PATH is New Jersey and a different agency entirely. And there's a little friction there, but this is still how people are getting around. So they wanted something like that. They also looked at the Boston MBTA map, which includes high-frequency bus routes. I have a design philosophy that if you're going to make a service diagram that distorts geography, you should not include bus lines. Unless it's like a very specific bus line to like the airport that only goes between one station and the airport, that's fine. But the idea behind a bus, I mean, really, like on a fundamental level, is it's this hyper-local transit. You need to know what street it's on and where the stop is because it's taking you basically door-to-door, as opposed to a heavy rail metro, which, unless you're fortunate enough to live directly above a station and then go to another location that is directly above a station, there's like a lap mile, is what it's called, between where you are and the rail line. And you can't show that last mile on a distorted diagram. You just can't do it. It doesn't make any sense because that last mile, which can include a bus line, is so dependent on that geography. And so I have a big problem with a lot of the maps that do try to incorporate bus lines, not only because of the loss in geography and the geographic information. It doesn't show you stop. It'll show you like, oh, you can go to this station and then transfer to this park. But then they just draw, like, you know, a line in space. And it's like, where's this line taking me? Are there any stops on the line? Because you're not showing the stop. The whole point of a diagram is lines and stops. And if you don't have one of those elements, it fails. One of the things that really hooked me about the Boston map was when I lived in Boston, I lived outside of Boston in a town called Arlington. And I would take the 77 bus to Harvard Square. And I know the way the 77 bus runs relative to the red line. On the Boston map, they had it running in a completely different place. It irked me to think like, all right, what if you needed to make that connection? You think we're looking at this map, you're going to end up in a completely different place. And that alone means this map's a failure. The one thing you're supposed to be doing on this map is giving someone directions between A and B, and you're doing that wrong. So those are my big issues with bus lines on maps. But they said, you know, we've got some prototypes here. None of them are great. Would you take a stab at it? And I took a stab at it, and I never heard back from them. If you haven't seen it, post it up, because the neighborhood map was posted at Lafont Plaza. I was really happy about that. But the network map wasn't. And I just think it's sort of, we're looking for this way to square a circle. And I just don't think, on a fundamental level, there's a good way to do it. All of that said, I think there is a place for that type of information on a subway map. because to the point of all of these agencies, they want to make intermodal travel more attractive. That's awesome. That's very important. Having these lines shoehorned into a map is not the best way to do it. I don't know what the best way is. I think we're still figuring that out, but you know, I know it doesn't work. My name is Andrew Lynch. I am a cartographer, graphic designer, urban historian. You can find my work at vanschnookenragon.com or more easily, vanmap.com.
Many thanks to Andrew for his time. We are on quite the map in Washington Metro kick these days. Please do listen to episode 30. It's entitled Washington Metro, Great Society Subway, where we speak with Professor Zachary Schrag about the history of the Metro. And episode 31, Recipes for Wayfinding in the Washington Metro, where we speak with Garrett Corcoran about designing new digital signage and wayfinding for the Metro. Should really check those out. Links are in the show notes. A healthy reminder that all views on this episode don't necessarily reflect or represent the views of our employers, past or present. It's really important, especially when the world feels like it's coming apart. As usual, check out more episodes on our website, jwp.news. Please do share, subscribe, heart, star, whatever to this episode. This little bit of action and work on your part helps the show find other listeners, and we are eternally grateful for it. My name is Randy, and I wish you well and see you on the internets.